Good morning. Welcome on this beautiful Sabbath day. This is Ephesus Baptist Church. It's God's house. He's provided it for us to come and to worship and to praise Him. And I ask you, are you glad you're part of the family of God?
Amen.
Amen indeed. Over the past few weeks, we have indirectly talked about the Bible. I know we talked about the Bible and our cell phones. We talked about sin and what the Bible says about sin. And today I'd like for us to look in a little more depth and detail about this book called the Holy Bible that we know as God's Word. And our text for this morning is 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 14 through chapter 4, verses 4. And I invite you to follow along as we read our text. 2 Timothy chapter 3, 14 through chapter 4, verse 4. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. In the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing and his kingdom, I give you this charge. Preach the word, be prepared in season and out of season, correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instructions, for the time will come when men will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. May God add his blessing to our reading, hearing, and studying of his word. The major divisions between Christians today is no longer denominations. The division is between those who believe the Bible is true and those who do not believe it is true. And I pray everything that we do at Ephesus Baptist Church is built upon the fact that this is the very Word of God. Without the assurance that this is the Word of God and that every word is true, we have no certainty about the way of salvation. We have no promise of a home in heaven. We have no standard by which to live. If a church does not believe that the Bible is the Word of God, then it is nothing more than a social club dedicated to the betterment of the community, always trying to make the world a better place from which to go to hell. So we need to make sure that Ephesus is being more than just a social or civic organization. We must commit ourselves to being a soul-winning, life-changing, Bible-believing New Testament church, with our final authority being the inerrant, infallible, God-breathed book called the Holy Bible. And our text today contains three great truths regarding the Bible. The first is that the Scriptures are inspired. In the verse 16 of chapter 3 of Timothy, we are told that all Scripture is God-breathed. And God-breathed means inspired. God breathed his inspired words into 40 different men through the ages who wrote the Bible. And while each man's writing style is different and resonates with different tones, the subject matter originated with the same source, and that is God, the breath of God. And when speaking of God-inspired scripture, Peter wrote in 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 16 and 20, "We do not follow cleverly invented stories when we told you about the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. Above all, you must understand that no prophecy of Scripture came about by the prophet's own interpretation." And how true that is today. We must realize that no one other than God put his or her interpretation into the Bible. And we're not talking about partial inspiration. The text states all scriptures are inspired. All scriptures are God-breathed. We're not talking about progressive inspiration. The books of Genesis and Jacob, the oldest of texts, are just as much inspired as Revelation. And furthermore, I believe in the concept of verbal plenary inspiration, which is a free word phrase for saying that the very words in the Bible are inspired by God. Not just the concepts and not just the thoughts, but the very words themselves. Remember, Jesus said, "I tell you the truth, until heaven and earth disappear, not the smallest letter, not the least stroke of a pen will by any means disappear from the law until everything is accomplished." The scriptures are inspired by God. The scriptures are also instructive. They teach us what is right. There must be an absolute truth. There has to be a final authority saying this is right and this is wrong. It's important that we know what God has to say. And regardless of all the biblical scholars who expound on the Bible, regardless of my opinion, regardless of your opinion, anyone's opinion other than God's is worthless. The scriptures teach us what is wrong. God's word is for rebuking. It teaches us how to act according to God's instructions. God's word is for correcting. Scripture shows us how to get it right, how to do the right things in life. If we are on the wrong path, the Bible can bring us back on the straight and narrow and put our feet back on course. The Bible teaches us how to stay right with God. Our text tells us that Scripture is for training in righteousness. And third, our Scriptures are instrumental in building us in many ways. They're instrumental for our very salvation. Verse 15 says, "No one is ever saved apart from the word of God." Paul wrote to the church at Rome, "Consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of Christ." Even the thief on the cross took God at his word and was saved. The scriptures are instrumental for our sanctification. Scripture is so that we may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. And our spiritual growth is measured in large part by how well we feed on the Scripture. Do we have Bible study in our lives? Do we look at the Bible daily? Do we take every opportunity to learn more through organized study groups? The Scriptures are instrumental in our service to God. They equip us to perform good works in His name. The Scriptures are instrumental in our usefulness to God. In 2 Timothy, in an earlier chapter, chapter 2, we read, "Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a workman who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly handles the word of truth." So the Scriptures are inspired, they are instructive, and they are instrumental in benefiting us. So why do we need to go and explore whether the Bible is the Word of God if we read what's written there and we believe it? Then that should be enough for each of us. But many people, including some of us here, do not realize today that a major battle is being waged regarding the Bible. We are at war in the world today, and even evangelicals are fighting each other over whether the Bible is inerrant and is the inerrant and infallible Word of God. There's still some lingering debate in the Southern Baptist Convention over the contents of the Bible. This was a big issue years ago in the Baptist denomination, and it's still brewing, still bubbling throughout different parts of this country. In our society, everything which is not nailed down is coming loose, and believe you me, the devil is pulling nails as fast as he can. So we need to know what we believe and why we believe it. And it's time to nail down our position regarding the Bible. Many in our society today hate the concept that the Bible is the absolute truth and the absolute authority for our lives. They take the attitude, nobody tells me what to do. Some despise God's word. Others deny it and do not believe it. Others distort God's word by twisting it to say what they want it to say. Others dissect God's word by cutting out the parts that they don't like. And isn't this true of what's happening in other denominations where they are allowing homosexuals to serve from the pulpit and to serve as teachers? They are saying that part in the Bible about that lifestyle, we don't believe that. We believe God's a loving, caring God, so we think He wants these people to serve in His church. And that part about it being an abomination, well, that's just, so, you know, something we can cut out. Others disregard God's word. To them, it's irrelevant and unimportant. We should not despise God's word, deny it, distort it, dissect it, or disregard it. We should delight in it and defend it with our life. Our belief that the Bible is the Word of God is not a belief based upon blind faith. In fact, I object to that term blind faith, because true faith is always based and rooted in evidence that is based upon fact. Now, surely we have to take a leap. We can't see God, as Amanda said in the children's message. we have to take that leap of faith, but that leap of faith is based upon evidence that has been uncontroverted through the ages. We've seen the hand of God at work. We know every promise He made in His Word He has kept so far. So let's look at some external evidence that the Bible is truly a miracle book. The miracle of the Bible's origination is one of those points. The Bible is really a library of 66 books in all. And these 66 books were written over a period of 1,600 years by 40 different men from 13 different countries and 3 different continents. Yet it all comes together as a literary masterpiece with one central theme and without contradiction. Such is truly a miracle, with a divine author overseeing the entire process. These 40 men came from a different variety of backgrounds: doctors, fishermen, shepherds, soldiers, kings, princes. Some were rich, some were poor, some were educated, some were uneducated. And the Bible covers a myriad of topics such as the universe and the creation of man, the beginning of sin, the divine principles of government, the rise in history of the nation of Israel, the incarnation of Christ, the institution of the church, and the evangelization of the world. Yet with all this variety of subject matter, with 1,000 threads weaving the tapestry, there is one theme from beginning to end: Jesus Christ and the redemption of mankind. And needless to say, the Bible is a miracle in its origin. Also, the Bible is a miracle as regards its preservation. The Bible is not the book of the month. It's the book of the ages. No book has ever been more attacked, more scorned than the Bible. No book has ever been more despised and rejected than the Word of God. It has been burned, ridiculed, outlawed, and amazingly, the more it is attacked, the more it multiplies. Voltaire said, in 100 years, the Bible will be a forgotten book, only to be found in museums. 100 years later, Voltaire was dead, and his home was purchased by the Geneva Bible Society, which used it to print and distribute Bibles throughout the world. Don Ingersoll, a well-known atheist of the last century, used to travel a circuit delivering messages on why the Bible was not true. He said, in 15 years, I'll have the Bible in a morgue. And 15 years to the day after he said that, he died, and the Bible still lives. Many a man has preached the funeral of the Bible only to find out that the corpse outlived the pallbearers. The Bible is a miracle in its organization. It's a miracle in its preservation, and it's also a miracle regarding its circulation. No book has ever been circulated like the Bible. It is by far the number one seller of all times. Many people and organizations have donated their lives for the cause of circulating God's Word. Most of us are familiar with the Gideons, which is one of many organizations who do this work, and they distribute over 500 million Bibles a year. Missionaries risk their lives to smuggle Bibles into countries where leaders have forbidden its distribution. And yet many church members don't even take their Bible to church. What a shame. The Bible is a miracle book in its origination, its preservation, and its circulation. If the Bible is the Word of God, and we know it is, then we are obligated to live by it or suffer the consequences. You know, the Bible is widely available. You can pick it up in many places. You can get inexpensive Bibles. You can get expensive Bibles. Friends, family, co-workers can purchase one at any time. But think about it's most effective in changing a person's life when it's hand-delivered in love by you to someone. I'm not saying that every time it'll have that effect, but more often than not, if you deliver a Bible to someone and tell them you're doing so because you love them, I think you've got a good chance that they will at least use it initially and hopefully continue to use it throughout their life. And if you're here today and you're familiar with this book we call the Holy Bible, that we say is God's Word, and you believe it, you have faith that it's without error, without contradiction, then you know you need to come and make a profession of your faith in Jesus in order that you can have that gift of salvation and that you can have eternal life. And if you're already a believer, you've already given your life to Christ, but you've kind of put the Bible, you know, on that top shelf where you can hardly reach it and it's gathering dust, then you need to pull it back down and go through it and read some of the familiar verses that you know, and maybe read some that you haven't visited ever in your life. But we do invite you to come this morning if you would like to accept Christ as your Savior when we sing our hymn of invitation, number 300.